This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
What a great one he was, right? And he just died a few days ago, so we're kind of in tribute to him. Lucille, one of many songs the guy sang. Boy, did he belt them out. And he left no dust when he moved around. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy, partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us on this Tuesday already, May the 12th. Wow. In a few minutes, Michael Mazza of the American Enterprise Institute is going to be here, and we're going to talk about how we should be strengthening our ties with Taiwan, especially now, with the current focus on mainland China and perhaps the treachery in this pandemic. So stay tuned for that. And while health expert Anthony Fauci is going before the Senate, I think in a virtual mode, to testify, the Supreme Court hearing arguments today on whether Donald Trump's tax records can be opened up. So we're going to get some thoughts on both topics from the proprietor of the only poll that really counts for mainstream America, the Barber Poll, and Andrew Ceraci. So stay tuned for that. And now there's talk of sending Americans checks every month. Have you heard about this thing? Like $2,000 a month until this pandemic is over. So is this what is going to lead to a socialist state here in the U.S.? Are getting used to having the government send us money every month? We're going to talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, this is a particular favorite of Ed's because he loves cats. These are the top 10 most expensive cat breeds. So Ed will certainly know what they are. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we come to you every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday here, 10 to 11 a.m. And you can listen to us anytime because we got our shows on podcast. Ed sets up our programs, every one of them on podcast. Go to ourfreedomworks.com, ourfreedomworks.com. And look for the podcast button. And he sets up, he'll tell you who the interview guest is and the top 10. Ourfreedomworks.com. All right. Well, as we said, Dr. Anthony Fauci on the administration task force for the pandemic is testifying right now, I think, before the Senate about the coronavirus. And according to the New York Times, he is warning about the dangers of reopening too soon. He thinks that we got to be very, very much on our guard. He will say that Americans would experience, quote, needless suffering and death, unquote, if the country opens up too quickly. So he tends to be a little bit on the conservative side about all of this. When I say conservative, I mean be very careful out there, as he should. In an email that was sent to the New York Times, he said, we risk the danger of multiple outbreaks throughout the country. And it will result not only in needless suffering and death, but set us back on our quest to return to normal. So he'll be sort of unshackled from Donald Trump, won't he? He won't be standing there in the corner talking about what's going on with Trump kind of, you know, standing there looking at him? Do you think he's going to say things that might be a little bit more how would you put it? A little more freely spoken? Could be. In the meantime, the Supreme Court, by the way, you can hear them now. Are you aware of that? They're allowing people to listen. They're going to hear, and they're in that virtual mode too. They're all separate. They're not sitting together anywhere. They're not sitting together anywhere. They're all, you know, they're all at their homes. Hey, they could, you know, Ginsburg could be downing a pint while she's listening to testimony. Who knows? Anyway, the court is hearing oral arguments via teleconference in some high-profile cases concerning Trump. Whether he can be shielded from subpoenas for his personal banking and accounting records. They want to look at his tax returns. I think a lot of people want to prove that he's not as wealthy as he claims to be. And they'll get some personal satisfaction out of that. Also, they want to, they're dying to find something wrong with what he's done somewhere along the way. He must have done something. If we can just look at every nick and crevice in his life, we'll find something. We got to find something. The first two cases are Trump versus, I guess it's Mazars, and Trump versus Deutsche Bank. They've been consolidated, I guess, into one case, as they both deal with Democrat-led committees, subpoenaing records, including tax returns. At issue is the extent that a sitting president can be subject to congressional oversight under, quote, valid legislative purposes, unquote, of his private dealings before he became president. How much can they look at before he became president? They're also going to want on, people want them to rule on whether or not if he, they find anything wrong, if they can go after him now, as opposed to waiting and going after him after he leaves office. A House Oversight Committee subpoena came after the private attorney for Trump, Michael Cohen, testified that Trump misreported figures to the government and in some cases overstated his dealings. So that's kind of interesting. We're going to talk a little bit about that further when we talk with Andrew Ceraci. By the way, I wonder, Ed, if our master barber is opening up today. I wonder, have you heard anything?
He was open yesterday.
No kidding.
In a line of 30, 31 plus me.
Were you there?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he's normally not open on
Monday. Yeah.
Is he going to normally stay open on Monday?
It's so busy.
Now?
He's got his wife working with him.
Wow. Nicole?
Yep.
Well, you know, she's great with hair. She's a salon expert.
She's taking orders. Well, I mean, she's booking people. Because you got a call. You got a book.
Ah, you cannot just wander in.
No.
Okay. When I talk with him, I got to remind myself to ask him if he'd put me on the list.
Part of the rules of reopening up.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we. I think all of the barbers have to do that, correct? Mm-hmm. In salons, yep. The women and all of that. By the way, Nicole's a wonderful woman. I got a chance to know her a little bit. And she used to run kind of a nail trimming and, you know, manicuring and this. And she would do it in the other room separate from Andrew's barber, but it would be, you know, in the same thing. So anyway, it's good to hear that it's open. You know?
Yeah.
I wonder, was Andrew excited about opening when you talked with him?
He was so tired. I was there, what, 2:30? He was tired because they opened up at 8.
Wow. Well, I'm kind of glad to hear he's open, to be honest with you. Okay. We're going to take our break, and when we come back, Michael Mazza of the American Enterprise Institute.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It won't be long now till we open up again here in Florida. And men, the first place that I'm going to go is to Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. I've been to lots of haircutters over the years, and I can tell you I have never found a better one than Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. With over 50 years of experience and a staff of hair experts, Andrew's Master Barbershop is truly in a class by itself. So men, when we finally open up again, make a date for Andrew's Master Barbershop just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back Tuesday morning. Delighted to have Michael Mazza join us. He is a visiting fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. He has expertise in Asian American affairs, and he has penned a piece, Strengthening Cooperation and Dialogue Between the United States, Europe, and Taiwan. Michael, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Very interested in, and we kind of forget about Taiwan, you know, with our concern about mainland China. But here's Taiwan, and all of these years has managed to remain independent despite Communist China's best intent in kind of grabbing it, sucking it back into the system. But now more than ever, perhaps, you say we should be strengthening our ties. Tell us a little bit about why in that regard.
Well, there's a whole host of reasons, but I think, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic that we're dealing with right now provides an excellent case study for why Taiwan's exclusion from the international community has been a problem. Taiwan has handled the pandemic domestically probably better than any other country in the world. Only a handful of deaths, only a few hundred cases, and that's in a situation where there's significant travel back and forth between Taiwan and China, including to Wuhan, where, you know, the virus originated. And despite all that, Taiwan has been kept away from the World Health Organization. China has continued to object to its deeper, more substantial inclusion in the international community. And I think the rest of the world is suffering because it's not so much the case of the United States, but others are denied the opportunity to learn from Taiwan's experience.
Yeah, indeed. And you say that they've done a successful job so far of dealing with the coronavirus despite Wuhan and all of the travel back and forth. Is there any secret to what they're doing? Is it just that they jumped on it real quickly? Do you know?
That's a big piece of it. So, you know, there's a couple of things that happened. Taiwan was hit bad by SARS, previous viral outbreak back in 2003, also which originated in China. Taiwan was hit very hard by that. And at that time, they blame their exclusion, again, from the World Health Organization as one of the factors that contributed to their inability to handle it well. So they made a lot of domestic reforms, and they put in place a system to rapidly respond and mobilize the entire government in a situation like this. So that was the first thing that happened. And the second thing was that they essentially moved based on rumors they were hearing out of Wuhan before anybody else. Right? So they were the first country to start doing health checks for international passengers flying in from Wuhan. They shut down early. They started rationing mask supply early. They were simply ready to deal with this in a way that most others were not.
Yeah, we can learn from them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Why is the World Health Organization so beholden to mainland China, do you think?
You know, it's a great question, and it's a little bit tricky. You know, the answer that people often jump to is funding, right? China must give a lot of money to the World Health Organization. But if you look at the numbers, that's not actually true. The United States gives far more than China has ever given. So if it's not money, what is it? There's a couple of things here that are at play. One is China has prioritized getting its own nationals and sort of friendly travelers, if you will, fellow travelers, into positions of leadership within international organizations. So the previous director of the WHO was a Chinese national, who then had the opportunity to hire people and put people in place within the organization, who had the opportunity to shape the way the organization dealt with Taiwan and with other countries going forward, right, to set new precedents. And so those things can kind of have a long tail, even though that person is no longer in charge of the WHO. The effects can continue. So that's one piece of the puzzle. Another piece is I think the current WHO Director General and the top leadership believe it's very important to have China's cooperation in dealing with this issue, COVID-19, the coronavirus, as well as other global health issues. And they're not wrong about that. Obviously, we want China's cooperation, given that this originated in China. We want to understand how it came to be. We want to learn from their experience. But I think the current leadership has kind of taken that logic too far, that they are so concerned about upsetting Beijing and losing that cooperation that they're hesitant to speak openly and forthrightly about, you know, the problems that we have seen in the way China has dealt with the virus.
And now Trump is pulling money away. He wants to pull the rug out a little bit from under the World Health Organization. Do you think that's going to make them kind of come around on all of this?
You know, remains to be seen. So my own opinion is that that's not the right way to handle the problem for a couple of reasons. One is, you know, freezing funding when we are in the middle of a pandemic just I think is a bad idea. It's bad PR, right? It just we look bad in the international scene. I also don't think it gets us. I don't think it provides us the leverage we hope it will provide. Right? If we want to see real change in the WHO, I think there's two ways to go about it. So one is to do what China's been doing, right? So to prioritize getting Americans and Europeans and others, you know, of like mind into positions of leadership in international organizations. We don't do that by threatening funding to the organization.
Yeah.
The second way we do it, we enhance our influence. And by the way, this is how we achieve that first goal of getting U.S. and other friendly countries into positions of leadership is to use coaxing and controlling and threats when necessary to ensure that other countries, members of the WHO and other international organizations, vote with us rather than with China when it comes to setting agendas and advancing new programs and things of that matter. So
sure.
In a couple of weeks is the World Health Assembly, which is the gathering of WHO members, which again controls the WHO, right? The Director General is not necessarily in control of the way the WHO operates, right? That the member countries make those decisions when they come together to vote. We should be weighing on you know, putting pressure on countries who we know are not going to vote with us or expect won't to vote in a way that benefits our rather than Chinese interests. And
yeah.
That's something that we haven't done effectively.
You realize, of course, people think that the WHO was involved in a cover-up with China.
You know, China has obviously behaved very badly. You know, I think the facts of that case are well known. WHO's, I would hesitate to say that WHO was involved in a cover-up, a willful cover-up. I think, again, that they are overly overly kind, overly sensitive to Chinese concerns and Chinese requests. And that has led to some bad WHO policymaking.
Well, maybe they were overly trusting of what China was telling them. But you, one would think, knowing how China operates, you have to take everything they say with a bag of salt.
I think there's definitely some what we might call willful naivete.
Willful ignorance?
Willful ignorance,
okay.
That's right.
Gotcha. We're talking with Michael Mazza. He is a visiting fellow at the Great American Enterprise Institute. He has some real knowledge when it comes to the Pacific Theater, expertise in Asian affairs. Michael, in this piece that you wrote, you talk about how Europe is coming around on China. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think for a long time, Europe was focused above all on the economic component of their relationship with China, right? They saw China's rise primarily as an opportunity, right, to continue to enhance their own economic prosperity, just as Americans saw it for a long time. I think that they were slower to come around to the realities of the risks and challenges that China's rise poses, slower than the United States was. And so they've been sort of lagging behind us. But, you know, a couple things have happened. So one, of course, most recently, we've got the coronavirus that's opened a lot of eyes in China who, I think, much more so than before, see the nature of the Chinese regime, the communist regime, as a problem, right? But even predating that, I think, in particular, China's dealing with Hong Kong and the human rights abuses in Xinjiang, where the Chinese are imprisoning millions of mostly Uyghur Muslims in concentration camps for no reason whatsoever. I think that was also opening a lot of eyes. Now, policy changes have not been significant to this point, but there's been more discussion of, again, China posing a challenge or a risk rather than an opportunity, and reason to think that the cost-benefit analysis that's happening in European capitals is beginning to change.
Yeah. Do you think that all of this kind of plays to the strengthening Trump's relationship in Europe because of China? You know how with the situation of, I guess, distrust, and they've seen, you know, what Trump did with you know, with trade relations and tariffs and everything else. So, you know what I mean? Is this playing to Trump's advantage?
I think it should be, but I don't think it is, and I think that's because I think the president has not prioritized the European relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So there has been an effort to bring the Europeans along on things like 5G, which is a useful effort. I think it's been somewhat effective in some cases, but you know, as we've seen, the president is not a particularly a big fan of NATO, of the EU, and so what we may be seeing instead is sort of smaller powers. Like the European countries, like Australia, like New Zealand, working together more closely themselves to deal in particular with a response to or handling China's, response to China's handling of the coronavirus in particular. I think that's not a bad outcome. I think it's a suboptimal outcome to one in which, you know, they're working much more closely with the United States, but we're just not seeing that to date.
Yeah. You know, China has been, in some cases, people think using the virus, the pandemic, as a way of kind of doing some of the things that they wanted to do anyway. You know, the island hopping situation in the China Sea. They're almost thumbing their nose in certain ways, and then look at the way they've always looked at Taiwan with, kind of drooling about it. They want to grab Taiwan back, you know, and that's been a situation. I mean, you got to hand it to Taiwan. They're sitting there. They've been in the bullseye of mainland China, you know, and yet they've been able to. Does Trump appreciate? Do you think Donald Trump appreciates all this?
Well, look, I think what we're seeing is that thus far, China is not allowing the coronavirus to get in the way of its other priorities. And I think you may be right that it sees an opportunity to advance some of those priorities. So let's look at Taiwan in particular, right? In the wake of the outbreak, Beijing could have chosen to try to improve relations with Taiwan, to try to win some hearts and minds, right, to try to play the long game with Taiwan. And it could have done so by being very quick to share information with Taiwan, by, even if only temporarily, welcoming Taiwan back into participation with the World Health Organization. It could have assisted Taiwan in getting its own nationals home from Wuhan. Instead, it sort of played games with that effort. It complicated it. China decided to do none of those things. So what did it decide to do instead? It adopted a very hard line towards Taiwan. You know, still no participation of any kind with the WHO. Again, playing games with Taiwan's efforts to help its citizens in Wuhan, stepped up and increasingly provocative military exercises in and around the Taiwan Strait, right? It has chosen to pose a greater threat to Taiwan in the wake of the virus than it was in the lead up. And so, I think we're in a situation where things are increasingly dangerous for the island. You brought up the China Seas. We've seen China continue with business as usual in the South China Sea, slowly but surely increasing its grasp, its control on the island, picking fights with its neighbors. Just a couple days ago, we saw the Chinese Coast Guard chasing Japanese fishing ships in waters that we consider to be under the administration of Japan. So China isn't backing down anywhere. And it's confident, I think, that nobody is going to push back all that hard. That's a risky it's a risky course to pursue, but it's worked for them thus far.
Yeah. You would think, though, that mainland's kind of vulnerable right now in the eyes of the world. But like you say, they're kind of thumbing their nose and pushing on. I want to thank you so much, Michael, for coming on. It was really interesting. I hope we can talk again down the road.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, sir.
Have a good one.
You too. Michael Mazza, American Enterprise Institute. Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, oh boy, we got a lot to talk about with the proprietor of the barber pole. He's opened up again. We're going to find out about how you can get a haircut from him and what he thinks about Anthony Fauci testifying and the tax records of Trump. Lots of things.
Crap I learned in high school. It's a wonder I can think at all.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It won't be long now till we open up again here in Florida. And man, the first place that I'm going to go is to Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. I've been to lots of hair cutters over the years, and I can tell you I have never found a better one than Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. With over 50 years of experience and a staff of hair experts, Andrew's Master Barbershop is truly in a class by itself. So man, when we finally open up again, make a date for Andrew's Master Barbershop just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Talking Sports and Knockout Radio is one of, if not the longest running sports radio show in Tampa Bay, and heard every Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. From football to MMA and pizza to travel, we talk it all. Every Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m., we walk the walk and talk the talk. If you have a story you'd like us to cover, just go to knockoutradio.com and click the contact link and send us a suggestion. That's knockoutradio.com/talkingsports.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. Boy, there's so much going on in Washington right now, despite the virus. The acting director of National Intelligence, his name is Richard Grenell, has decided to declassify info about the Obama administration and the people who were behind what they call the unmasking of Michael Flynn. Now, the term unmasking, when surveillance is being used on foreign suspects, if one of the people in a conversation is an American, he is entitled to certain rights. He is masked, typically. So when Michael Flynn was having discussions with Russian people, you know, the ambassador and everybody else, in the transition from Obama to the Trump administration, Flynn's name was not supposedly to be unmasked, but indeed it was. And who were the people involved in unmasking Michael Flynn, who, by the way, was doing totally innocent work at that time for the Trump administration? Well, there's a possibility Obama was one of the unmaskers, and we're going to find out about that. In the meantime, he is back. He is back at the barber chair in his shop, the proprietor of the only poll that counts, the barber poll. How are you, Andrew?
Oh, it's unbelievable. They 70 people yesterday.
Wow.
When we got here, there was like 25 people lined up at the door. It was unbelievable.
Well, I happen to know that because Big Ed told me he was one of the people that got in to get a haircut.
Yep. I had to pull my wife out of retirement. She's not happy about that. She's missing the soap operas and her recorded movies, but we had to put her to work.
Oh, I'm berserk with sadness.
She's answering the phone. This is something that we never experienced in my shop. You know, it was always walk-in. And I'll tell you what, these masks, a few times I was almost hyperventilating, Paul.
Well, I was just going to ask.
Mask.
How is the process? Tell us now. You open up your barber shop. Now, the governor of Florida, DeSantis, says that you can only schedule appointments to a barbershop. You cannot just walk in off the street, correct?
Yeah. And, you know, you got a barbershop for 35 years that people walked in. How do you start this all?
I know it.
They don't even know your phone number.
That's right.
They were lined up out there, and my wife started telling them, okay, time, in an appointment book. And it worked out, and it's working out now, but I can't wait till it's over.
Oh, I bet. Now, I got to get in. I probably will have to make a phone call to you to get on your list, but I want
to
get in.
You're going to have to call Nicole, man. She's the big kahuna now. She's running this place with an iron fist.
Give me the phone number, please, for everybody. What is your phone number now?
727-733-3773.
Now, that's for Andrew's Master Barbershop. That's in Dunedin, by the way. It's a beautiful shop. He keeps it so clean. I'll bet, because you're almost like you're not a germaphobe. I don't want to use that, but you keep things so clean in your place.
I'm OCD, Paul.
What does that mean?
OCD, excessive compulsive.
Oh, yeah.
I got it. Oh yeah.
I'm
always moving as clean. I'm excessive compulsive.
Yeah. Now,
and I'm probably ADHD and a few other things.
Well, it works to your advantage in the business, and particularly now. So when people come in with their appointment, let's say I call today, for instance, would you say, well, okay, we're going to put you down for tomorrow, or are you going to say later?
It all depends. There's opening. There's four of us here now, you know.
Oh, you got four going on in there. Okay.
Yeah.
You got all
with the
chairs.
Receptionist, I mean, the whole place, it's like a high-class barbershop now, you know.
Well, it's always been a high-class barbershop. You know that.
Oh, now we're over the top.
Okay, so if I come in, do I have to wear a mask?
No, you don't have to wear one.
Okay.
When you walk in my door, I have my yard pump sprayer there with Lysol, and we mist you down with Lysol first.
What?
The chairs are disinfected. You sit in the chair. I put my rubber gloves on, put my mask on, and
really?
I still bullshit with you and cut your hair, buddy.
Okay, well, listen, if you're going to put the mask on and you're going to put the gloves on anyway, do you mind doing a little surgery? There's a couple of things I need
fixed. That's it. Now I tell everybody I'm Dr. Andrew. Instead of MB, it's MD now. We're all set. I got my degree.
And also,
but anyway, Paul, yeah, we got to get down to business.
Let's get down to business.
We got too much going on.
Okay, let's start.
Listen.
Which one do you want to talk about? You want to talk about the Trump tax records before the Supreme Court?
You want to talk
about Michael Flynn?
And with Michael Flynn and with this Obamagate. I love the name
Obamagate. Okay.
Obamagate.
So
let's talk about it.
Let's talk. Go ahead. What do you think?
Well, I told you from the beginning this was going to happen. And it goes right up to Obama. And you know what? Trump is pissed. And I don't blame him one bit. He's taking him down, Paul. Now that these documents are out and they declassify all this other stuff, it goes right up to Obama.
Well,
and I believe Susan Rice pulled the mask off.
Well, you know,
with Obama.
Susan Rice, you can't trust her as far as you can throw her.
Ooh, I don't trust none of them.
Because remember, she went on all those talk shows.
That's right.
And she claimed that the Benghazi deal, you know, was because
the video.
A video. It turned out to be a total lie. She went on every major Sunday talk show to say that.
Yeah, Paul, these are professional liars. They need to bring the psychologists in and make them know that they're professional liars.
Well,
they got paid to lie.
There is real talk that one of the unmaskers of Michael Flynn, and again, we kind of describe what a mask, how you mask people, that Obama was one of them. And we're now looking to see that there was a total, Trump hadn't even transitioned to the presidency, and they were looking into somehow, some way to delegitimize the Trump administration right while there was a transition going on. It's breathtaking.
Well, it's the biggest scandal in American history. Trump is going to bring it forward. Okay?
Yeah.
There's no question in my mind about it. They got to be highly protected now. And I think James Comey might commit suicide.
Wow.
I think he might commit suicide. I think, and I don't know about Brennan and Clapper. They're two old guys. I don't know what's going to happen with them.
Well, if I was thinking about suicide, we got a pandemic going on. I think what I would do is go over to some public gathering area, maybe in Wuhan, and ask a bunch of people to cough on me.
I was thinking more, there's no such thing as suicide. You just befriend the Clinton.
Well, they're all involved in it, man. That's what I was hinting at.
If you befriend a Clinton in this kind of environment, I'd say you have about 2 weeks of life left in you.
That's what I was hinting at,
but I didn't want to be the one to say it. You took the words out of my mouth. Yeah, no question about it. But this is going down, and it's going to be big. Pretty soon, once this goes down, we don't even hear about the Wuhan virus no more.
Yeah, it seems like Trump and his minions, of course, Obama and his minions are coming out and going, how dare they allow Michael Flynn to go scot-free? He should be in prison, and what we did was right, and now they're breaking the rule of law. I mean, they've got some nerve, do they not? After what they did to Michael Flynn and his family, they have some nerve.
What about President Trump? Look what they've done to him and his family, Paul.
Of course.
Enough is enough with this. And, you know, Watergate was a pimple on a flea's rear end compared to what this is.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Well,
there's no question about it. I'll tell you what else I predict.
Go ahead.
You know, Barack Obama, he bought a home in Dubai maybe 6 years ago.
In Dubai?
Remember that? In Dubai.
I did not know he bought a home in Dubai.
Yeah, he bought a home in Dubai. And I understand that if you live in Dubai or you get to Dubai, there's no extradition to the United States.
Oh, I gotcha. So you think he's going to get over there and they can't get him?
When this all goes down, you know.
I'm sorry. I just think it's a great idea. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the idea.
Paul, how many times have I been wrong with this stuff, man?
Well,
I got a good record going on.
You have a good record. I have to. Okay, now I want to talk a little bit about the Supreme Court listening in. Not listening in. Of course, we're talking about all of that surveillance stuff. But they're going into whether or not Donald Trump's tax records and accounting records can be opened up so that Democrats can go poking around in it to find out if Donald Trump ever did anything wrong in his life. I tend to think that the Supreme Court is going to say, you can't just You can't just say, I want to look in there to see if there's something wrong. You got to have something legitimate. I don't think they do.
Well, first of all, we're lucky that there's a lot of conservatives on the Supreme Court now.
That's true.
Because if there wasn't, you know what would have happened.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I would tell them, you know what? Yeah, we can look in his as long as every one of you put yours in front of me right now.
There you go.
And we get to go through all yours, too.
I'd love to see Nancy Pelosi's.
Oh, yeah. Give me a break.
She and her husband. Really?
You know, Paul, it's just like all the masks. Everybody wants us to wear these masks. You know, you want to stop wearing masks real quick. You want to know, they'll tell you to stop in a minute. All we got to do is all start wearing Trump 2020 masks.
There you go.
Does it mean that? No, you don't need them no more.
You know something about a mask, and I've been thinking about this. I've been thinking about this, and I'm serious. If you put a mask on, and then you go to a store, right? And then you're touching things in the store. Let's say you're in a grocery store, as an example. You know how you pick up this and that, and then you put it back, you know, that kind of thing? So you're touching things. You're touching the counter when you go to check out. You're touching your shopping cart. And then you touch your mask. You touch your mask. I'm thinking that you actually turn your mask into a potential carrier. And where is your mask? It's seated over your nose and mouth.
I'm just wondering about
whether or not it's better not to wear a mask.
Well, these masks, if you really think about it, you got one piece of cloth or paper or gauze over your nose and your face, right?
Yes.
Now, when you're dressed up, you got a pair of underwear on and a pair of pants, right?
How dare you ask me what I'm wearing?
If you pass gas, it goes through both of them, doesn't it? So if that doesn't stop anything, what makes you think these masks would have stopped anything?
This is the most interesting.
Huh?
I'm trying to find the words on this one. All right. That's an interesting perspective. Let's put it that way.
All right. Think about it. Think about it, Paul.
I think, Andrew, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking you've probably done so many haircuts yesterday and today that you're getting a little goofy. I don't know.
It's the scientific proof.
Maybe so.
I'm going to have to get in touch with Dr. Fauci about this.
Let's see if you can get in, talk to Dr. Fauci so that he can talk about it publicly to millions of people.
Well, I'm just happy that everything's going to go down here the way it is. I'm so proud of Trump. I got news for you, buddy.
Well, I tell you what, I think he's building up things. I think he really is working. Before I let you go, I want to remind everybody that you've got to call in to Andrew's Master Barbershop and his phone number for making an appointment, 727-733-3773. You're going to talk to his wonderful wife, Nicole, and she'll set a time for you to come in and get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. When I get home, Andrew, I am calling Nicole. And
You got clout.
And I want to get clout. I need clout.
You got clout. You get snuck in, buddy.
Okay.
I still believe in it. You know the right people. Everything is good.
Yes, indeed, my friend. Well, you're the best.
All right,
Paul.
Thank
you so much for taking time with us.
You got it. You take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There he is. And, Ed, you've never looked prettier, so you got a nice haircut from him. Were there other people sitting in the bar? Sitting in the barber shop?
Yeah.
So were they spaced out?
Three chairs were full, you know, getting cut at the same time.
True.
And then I think he had like five waiting chairs. Now there's only three.
Yeah, he's got four people now doing a haircut.
No, I mean the waiting area, you know.
There's
usually like five chairs to sit in and read the magazines.
He's got three in there now.
There's three, so it's two out. And then you got to take all the magazines off the table.
Okay, because they don't want people touching the same stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, that's interesting.
No blow dryers either.
Really?
Yeah.
Why not?
That's just one of the provisions from the governor. I guess if you get a shampoo and a cut, you got to go outside and run around for an hour and get your hair dried and then come back in when it's ready.
I don't understand the blow dryer bit, unless the blow dryer touches you.
No, I think... I don't know. I guess it could move, if it's airborne.
You blow an airborne virus if somebody has it. That's a good point. Okay, let's take our final break, Ed. And when we come back, among other things, Ed, do you like cats?
No.
Okay, great. We have, despite that, we have the top 10 most expensive cat breeds.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It won't be long now till we open up again here in Florida. And man, the first place that I'm going to go is to Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. I've been to lots of haircutters over the years, and I can tell you I have never found a better one than Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. With over 50 years of experience and a staff of hair experts, Andrew's Master Barbershop is truly in a class by itself. So man, when we finally open up again, make a date for Andrew's Master Barbershop, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all.
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back with the final segment of Freedom Works. We're here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday on the Great Tantalk Radio Network, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, Freedom Works. Ed, you and I have missed one thing. It's like a big hole has been cut out of us. We don't have any sports. Right now, we should be enjoying the Tampa Bay Rays, their baseball team. We would have just been enjoying, the finish of the college basketball playoffs. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we missed all of that. So I want to ask you, is there any update on playing baseball, as an example, here in Tampa Bay?
The owners have a proposal they're going to send to the Players Association to start training camp or spring training in mid-June, and then sometime around July 4th, open up in stadiums without fans.
Without fans,
yes.
And they're going to wait until the 4th of July to open. Mm-hmm. So that means that they're going to like cut their season
in
half.
Yeah, they're going to shoot for a 100-game season.
A 100-game season.
So they'll lose 62 games.
Okay. 50-50 games.
Right.
Okay.
And now,
wow.
I wish we could have had a chance to play Governor Santis last night. Really destroyed the myth about, the Florida opening the beaches and spring breakers, frolicking all over each other and spreading the virus. That since the beaches have been open, both in Jacksonville, the number of newly infected and needing of respirators has fallen through the floor.
In Jacksonville?
Completely dropped. Because, like we said, somehow being outside, instead of being contained, the virus can't survive. And even Cuomo came out last night and said that we might have made a mistake by quarantining everybody. Because when we shut down we thought that they were getting it from the transit system, so we shut those down, and they were still getting it.
Well, I hope you're right about the warmth, because that would be great news for Florida.
And that would mean that sporting events could open up.
It would mean possibly, but we don't know. Let's make sure we don't know. They don't have any proof that warmer weather is going to, snuff this virus out. But
well,
I hope it.
There's some. Governor Santis has a lot of data to prove it. But here's Fauci coming out today saying that. If the NFL opens up, it could become a breeding ground for COVID-19.
Did he just say that?
No, he said that yesterday. He's just he's a Debbie Downer, and this guy is running the country right now.
Yeah.
He's running the country.
You think so?
Because he's got all these letters after his name, And yeah, he's done some things right, but I just think the guy's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think people are itching to get out, and they are getting out again, and I think it's good. And people aren't dumb. You know, they're going to, most all of the people out there are pretty smart about being careful. So very good. All right. Very good, Ed. Let's get to our top 10. We got a good one. Although, Ed, you've got dogs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't like cats? How come?
Not a cat. I just don't like cats.
There's a lot of people that don't.
Mm.
Okay. Fair enough. This comes from icepop.com. Icepop.com. These are the top 10 most expensive cat breeds. So here we go.
These are real expensive, or?
Well, I'm going to show you in a moment. Number 10, the American Curl. It's a $1,200 purchase for a cat called the American Curl. Like many of our favorite cat breeds, the American Curl also came to us at the hands of a mutation. The cat was first discovered in California back in 1931. American Curl, due to its charming curled, curled ears. Okay, that's it, ears. Okay, number 9, the Sphinx cat. Did you know there was a Sphinx cat?
Yeah.
You did, good. They run between $1,000 to $1,600 to purchase. While the Sphinx is bound to make some shriek, others absolutely adore it for its lack of fur. Did you know it had no fur? Okay. Number 8. You're going to sleep on me. The Russian Blue Cat, $1,700. While it's called the Russian Blue Cat, this handsome kitty is usually sporting a gray or silver coat. All right. Number 7. The Scottish Fold Cat, $1,500 to $4,000. Little do most know, but up until 1966, the Scottish Fold cats, simply called lop-eared cats or long hair folds. They originated in Scotland. Number 6, the Peterbald, $2,500. The Peterbald cat, first created by Olga Mironova in Russia back in 1994. Though its strange, almost extraterrestrial look, not for everyone, the breed is strong and intimidating. Number 5, the Ragdoll, $2,000 to $5,000. Famous American breeder Ann Baker introduced it back in the 60s. Number 4, the Persian. You've heard of that. $3,000 to $15,000 for a Persian. This kitty, the average man won't find himself buying. It originated in Iran. Number 3, the Bengal.
Sorry.
That's all right. The Bengal, $7,000 to $10,000. I know I got to run. It's a breed shrouded in mystery. Number 2, the Savannah. The Savannah is $20,000. Did you know that the Savannah is a big, huge cat?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And the number 1 most expensive cat. Yeah. The Ashira, $28,000. The newest and most expensive of all cats in the world. A lot in common with the Savannah. So there you go. All right, everybody, we're opening up. If you need a haircut, you can get one now. Do remember, the freedom works.